Yeah. It's a big game. Who you know that got it behind the scenes like behind the O-line soon as the QB say hype? It's big game, big game, analysis from the player's point of view. Injuries, big trades, player news. Yeah, sector competition, and he play with Tony Dungy. Better listen, I'm talking about
Big Game Sports Buzz.
Said everything you need and more. Yeah.
Big Game Sports Buzz.
I thought I told you once before. We call him
Big Game James.
Yeah,
Big Game James. Big Game James.
What's up, everybody? It's that time of the week. That's right. It is Thursday. It's time for Big Game Sports Buzz, where the sports fanatic and the pro athlete get together and talk about all things sports and everything related to it. I am Jay Stoggs, the Buff Nerd. Let's go. And of course, I'm joined by the man, the myth, the legend, the reason why this podcast is called what it is, Big Game James. What up, dude?
What is up, Jay Stoggs, man? It is good to be here to talk sports with you again this week, brother. I am, yes, man, blessed and highly favored. And I just want to say thank you to everyone that's been tuning in and helping us grow, man. We are now on YouTube only, 30 subscribers away from hitting 1,800.
Hey, so let's go.
Y'all keep hitting us up. Keep hitting us up. Keep there. Yeah, yeah. I'm getting it. And then, you know, new things coming with the shorts, man. So we want to continue to grow and make good things happen, man. And y'all can help us do that too by, you know, see what's going on the bottom of your screen. But I appreciate everybody because we do it because we love it. But when people interact while we're doing it, it makes it that much more fun, man. So thank you, everybody, for doing
that. Yeah, make sure that you hit us up in the chat. Also, make sure that you subscribe, you like, you hit the bell, you give us a thumbs up. That lets us know that we're doing the right thing, or sometimes when we're doing the wrong thing for the right reasons, always hit us up that way. Of course, you can listen to us on your favorite podcast platform. We have Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon. We're there as well. So wherever you listen to your favorite podcast, lots of stuff to talk about, but not really. What's up?
No, I was saying Amazon is working on changing their podcast platform. Do you know that Amazon Music is going to go to Google Podcasts, Google Podcasts is now about to link up with YouTube. So YouTube Podcasts and YouTube Music. It's crazy, man. You got to stay on top of all these things. Nevertheless, we're out there. We're out there.
We're there. We're there. So don't say, oh, I didn't know. What can I don't have that. Yes, you do. You got it. Hey, look, again, always glad y'all joined in. You know the discussions. You know how it is. You know how we get down. So let's go ahead. Let's do this thing before we get started, before you hit that button. Hey, go ahead. Like I said, subscribe. Hit the bell. Ring the bell. Thumbs up. Tonight's top five NBA duos all time. This is definitely tough. But before we do that, you know what we got to do. Let's get into these four downs.
It's time for the four downs. That's right. The hottest sports news around. PGSB presents Four Downs.
That's right. These are the four downs. These are the four hot topics that we've decided to talk about. There's a lot more of them, but these are the four that we're going to talk about tonight. So, we're on the podcast. Giannis Antetokounmpo, yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what it is. Giannis Antetokounmpo, as Charles Barkley would call him, went down last night with a calf injury. He is out for the rest of the season. Doc Rivers has said, "Oh, yeah, it's This is high priority. But they have 3 games left. Not sure if that he'll be ready for April 20th when the playoffs start. How concerned, if you are a Bucks fan, should you be?
Man, alert on 10, bro.
Yeah.
Because Jay Stocks, the first thing I thought of when I saw that injury and saw him sitting on the ground was Kevin Durant in the NBA Finals when Golden State was playing the Toronto Raptors. And it started out as just a calf strain. And what ended up happening before that series was over?
Achilles.
First thing that came to mind. Now, I'm not wishing. Now, people, don't get it twisted. I'm saying what I saw and what it reminded me of. I'm not wishing that on Giannis. I don't want Hey, man, big game, man. Right. You just hating, dog. You talking about you hope Giannis. No, I want nothing bad to happen to Giannis. It's just remnants of that Kevin Durant situation.
Sure.
And I say that too because, man, the Bucks were already struggling. They fired Adrian Griffin. They bring in Doc Rivers. They under 500 under Doc. They going into the limping into the playoffs now with Giannis being hurt. They don't know how to utilize Dame and Middleton and Giannis together. They're not gelling. Bruh, they already were in they was already in trouble. The Greek Freak would just kind of take things over and make it work, right?
Yeah.
If he's not going to be ready to go, because I don't care what you say. He could hardly walk off the floor, and they showed him later trying to leave the arena, Jay, all to the bad.
Yeah. Yeah, no, with a busted wheel, I mean, I agree with you. When you look at the injury and you see where it is and where he's grabbing, and it does take you right back to Kevin Durant, and how long it took for him to get back from that injury. And some still say he's not all the way back.
Right.
You know, so he's a big man, you know, and that's usually when you start talking about ankles, calves, things of that nature, Achilles, that's always a tough injury to come back from, especially in that area. So, yeah, it's troubling. If I'm a Bucks fan, I'm definitely concerned, especially this. And it's not, I say this late, the season is over, right? It's 3 games, season is over, regular season's over. Where you're sitting in the standings, and though you did win against the Celtics that night, you know, you have to wonder, do they have enough firepower with Dame, with Middleton, and the crew?
Right.
You know, so I don't know, man. It's going to be interesting to see. You know, Giannis is one of those types of people where he's going to try and fight through it regardless. And it may be to his detriment. You know, where he injures it worse. And I hope that's not what happens. So, but yeah, that's it on that. You know, this one, though, for second down. Oh, you got something?
No, I'm saying alert. Just reiterate, alert on 10.
Alert on 10. Okay, I'd say 8.5, but, you know, it's all good. It's definitely alert. Alert. Talking about alert, speaking of alerts, John Calipari leaves Kentucky in the Big 12 for greener pastures over in the SEC in Arkansas.
Why'd you say the Big 12?
My bad.
You thinking Kansas?
I'm thinking Kansas. It's Kentucky. I know.
Boy.
It's been a long month, folks. Look, we were about 10 days in. He leaves Kentucky to go to Arkansas. Did you see his farewell that he did, his video?
I did not. Okay. I saw him talking to Arkansas today. Yeah. I didn't see the video that was put out. Yeah. You know, when leaving Kentucky, Jay, we talked about it though. Like, he could be in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Less money, which yet the money he's making was going to get is still nice. But talk about the video then. You know, since you asked it, I see it. Did not. What light can you shed on the situation from what you saw?
First of all, you know, it was the way it was shot is kind of like, you know, like off of a laptop, and he's just like in his kitchen or whatever. He's somewhere in his house, like, oh, okay, all right. But the video, to me, the type of language that he was using, you know, as far as leaving Kentucky, going to Arkansas, it was kind of like, look, it is what it is. I've done what I've done. You know, had success. It's just not working anymore. You know, and it felt more like a divorce.
Mm.
Right? Like you see, like, hey, look, we've had some good times, you know, but it's just not working out anymore. You know, in the past 10 years, their records and the fact that they've not been able to get out of the first round a lot of those times, in the second round of the madness, right, of the tournament.
Right.
Yeah. And the one and dones and things of that nature. Yeah, I think it's better for him to be in Arkansas and then maybe actually build a program with student athletes that aren't just going to go to the NBA after their first year.
Can he recruit those kind of guys? Can Calipari bring in the guys? Not that, or is it too late for him to change his recruiting style of what he's been doing for so long at Kentucky? Like, is this going to be Kentucky just in a red uniform with a pig on it?
You know, I think he has to, because the NIL has changed the game for him. Right? You could lure a kid and say, hey, look, I can get you to the pros and you can get paid. And all you have to do is just spend a year here. Now it's, hey, I can go to college, get paid, stay in college for 2-3 years, and then go to the pros. And yeah, I can make more money in the pros, but I can definitely make millions in college. I mean, and I'm in a better community, surrounded by a smaller community or whatever. And if I'm doing well, then guess what? I've now become a hero.
Man, this whole something crazy. I want to know what really went down. But at the same time, we know Calipari is capable. He's won everywhere he's been. He hit a wall. We said that the marriage was probably over at Kentucky. I just think it surprised everyone that he left and stayed within the SEC when he left.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's Arkansas. I mean, it's Arkansas.
And Arkansas has a storied history. I mean, it's not like you went to a scrub.
When was the last time you okay, Arkansas? It hasn't been since Richardson. Come on, man. Let's be real.
Musselman had them playing well the last couple of years in the SEC and making the tournament. So, I mean, he has a lure to where he can build on. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying, oh, he went to Kentucky too. I didn't say that. But I'm saying there was a little bit of a base there in Arkansas that I think Calipari can build on. My thing is, do you see him change? It's hard. And I know you said the game is changing. Everything you said and your point, Jay, made sense with NIL and guys now can look at it differently coming in. I believe that Calipari may come and attack the portal now as well to get some of those mid-major guys that are really good and show how good they are. And he can lure them in to play for him, to play for a national championship maybe at Arkansas that they may not be able to do at the Duquesnes and the Oaklands and things of that nature.
Listen, if there's one thing that Calipari can do, it is recruit. Oh, what's going on? Good to see you. Good to have you. That's one thing Calipari can do. He can recruit. He has been able to do that everywhere he has been. But the people that he has recruited, the young men that he has recruited, are one and done guys.
Yeah.
So now the question is, like you said, can he recruit other than one and done guy? Can he recruit players that are going to stay for 2 to 3 years
and develop them?
Man.
Because that's a word that a lot of people are losing and forgetting now in college sports, man. It's like, I talked to a kid the other day. My son went to SMU and had a chance to watch a spring practice and interact with the coaches and stuff. Football. And it's football, a different sport, but same beast, same monster in today's game. Sure. So I had a chance to talk to some of the different linemen there and some of the kids that came out the portal that are now there. And, you know, buddy of mine was with me. He's like, hey, man, what do you like here that you didn't like at these other Power 5 schools? He said, what I like here is these coaches are telling me what I'm doing wrong, how I'm doing it wrong, and helping me develop into another player. At the bigger school and the bigger conference, they just yelled and screamed and said that I wasn't doing it. So therefore, my point I'm going this long way of making is there's so much coaching, there's so much lack of coaching to where you're a big school, you're a big institution, you get big names, you expect them to play well, but when they don't, you write them off and bring the next guy up instead of coaching the guy to be better. And I think a lot of that is happening in basketball as well. Can't you be a great developer? Because this is the thing. Julius Randle was great in college. Good pro. Anthony Davis, great in college. Good pro. They didn't stay long enough to see if the coach developed them.
Top players coming in. Wallace, to that point, listen.
You took that
when you have when you have Alabamas, when you have the Clemsons and the SCs and the, you know, and the Georgias, you know, you have these top schools, the UTs, the Oklahomas, they have, they're five deep at every position, okay? And so if you can't sustain that work, or, hey, I need you to do this right now because we're battling for a national championship this year, not in a couple of years, not with building a program. No, every single year we are vying for the title, every year. And so that means if that kid, and I'm not saying this right or wrong. What I'm saying is I'm looking at it from the perspective of, as a fan, if my school is not in the running for a national championship every single year, like look at TCU. They went, got shellacked, right? But every year, I'm telling you, since then, even after the shellacking, the next year they're like, okay, look, we got shellacked. Cool, but we should be in the running for a national championship. And when everyone saw that, oh, no, they're not, kids stopped coming, right? And you started to see that TCU was not the team that they can be. And it'll be very interesting now that UT and Oklahoma are going to be out in the SEC this year. Now it's, all right, TCU, Baylor, you know, Colorado's now in. U of H, let's start stepping up, right? We've got to see what you've got. But if you're at a big school, if you're at a Power Five, okay, and you're tops in the Power Five, yeah, that next player, they're not there to really develop you. You should already be ready to play by the time you start.
There's a gap somewhere, man. I mean, that, and that's a whole nother show. We can talk about it so many other different ways and times. But Calipari move, beyond surprising to me, it happened. You know,
I wasn't surprised. You can't lose in the first round as many times as he has, especially to that team the way
did. You're right. Maybe I shouldn't have said surprised, because after they got upset in the first round, we were talking about fire and changes in Kentucky. Could he be out? So you're right. It's just I think as it came kind of abrupt. And to go within the conference, it kind of what happened to me.
The only way college basketball teams can keep top players if they change the rules like college football and they have to stay in college until their junior year to go pro, not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
Nope.
And they, because they already changed the rule for that 1 year. Remember, they could come after high school or they could have 1 year in the pros. So that's basically what you have now is 1 year, you know, across – the ocean or whatever, or G League and the D League, whatever they call it now, G League, I think, right? Mm-hmm. Having the G League, then you can come into the pros, but you can't come straight in from high school.
And Wallace, I don't think it's the fact that we need to change the top players staying. It's recruiting the type of player that's going to really need to give you 2 years before he tries to go pro, and you develop and make sure he's playing well in that second year. So you still get good quality basketball. You can build your program to build a championship, because you can go have five guys that are going to go play in the NBA on your team and not win anything. And Calipari and Kentucky has showed us that.
Yeah.
For the last couple of years that it can happen.
But the goal, with
Bruce Pearl and his squad.
Yeah. But what's the goal then of that player? See, that's the thing too. What's the goal of an individual player?
Is that the elephant in the room that we're not talking about?
That's it.
Is that the,
We keep talking about the college coaches,
Well, I had to give you your nickel. I had to give you your nickel on that one, boy.
What about the mindset of the college or the high school player and their parents and those that are around them? Hey, you know you can go pro. Hey, look, we only got to be here for a year. Get what you can. Go to a place where you can show your talent every week on TV. And then we go into the pros.
You're right.
And so, and if that's the mindset of that kid, and I say that kid, it doesn't matter if it's John Calipari. It doesn't matter if it's Bruce Pearl. It don't matter who it is. Right? All that matters is I want to show my talents so that I can go to the pros. And that's it. And so if you have a coach that says, hey, you know what? All right. I believe in your dream as well. Let's work on it together, John Calipari. And that's what happens. And that's what you have. Speaking of coaches moving, there was a lot of speculation about Coach Dan Hurley from the now two-time defending back-to-back champions of the NCAA men's basketball. The question is, do you think that Kentucky can get him? Obviously, he's already turned them down and said no.
And they've been turned down by a couple people. They try to get Baylor's coach, Bryce Drew, right?
And I think he's the latest one that has said no.
Yeah, and someone says now that they're trying to holler at Bruce Pearl.
Yeah.
Dan Hurley, the reason this came up, you knew. Someone asked a question the other day, Jay, and if it was you, please forgive me. Because, you know, all right, Virginia, that's hard doing the players and to try and win it all in their first year and then,
go pro. Yeah.
Wallace is great, and Jay Stiles made that same point. Very well put, and that does make it beyond hard. I understand that, and I took that part of the thought out of it. My bad. But back to this third down here.
Yeah.
I lost my train of thought for a second.
It's all right. What's about Hurley, Kentucky?
Yeah, okay, so Kentucky, they're in desperation mode.
Yeah.
If they did or didn't see it, maybe they thought they were going to make a move and then they didn't fire him and then he comes in and retires. Who knows? They get caught off guard. To me, Dan Hurley would be an automatic candidate because not one, but two, back-to-back, the way he's playing, the recruiting he's done, because they love, think about it, they had two first-round draft picks, I think, on that team last year. And they come back this year and get right back to the finals and win the thing again, right?
Yeah.
That's what I was saying. I believe it could have been you. Connecticut has pretty much established themselves as a true blue blood school now, don't you think, when it comes to basketball?
I mean, six championships since, was it, 99?
99, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they have as many as NC.
Right. And two-time. To me, Dan Hurley would be stupid to leave that UConn situation to go to the fickleness of Kentucky, and they think that the ghost of Adolf Rupp is still walking around running stuff.
Absolutely. No, yeah, he knows that. And Dan Hurley has always struck me as a smart person, a smart basketball player when he did play. And then, of course, you know, now that he's coaching, I mean, dude, he played bully ball the whole way through with probably one of the biggest and best players in college basketball right now, and Zach Edey made him look small, especially in the second half.
Well, they tired him out. His philosophy and plan to attack him and go at him was genius because he wore him down and they didn't get him out. And now I'm saying Edey's played 40 minutes a game every game, but he was doing the dominating. He was doing the pushing and the knocking around. At this point in time, they were taking a fight to him and it was taking a toll on him because if you look in that second half, some of the easier shots that he missed. And Stocks, he got to a point where he couldn't even contest shots anymore.
Yeah.
He was trying to get under to get his hand up, and he couldn't even really contest it. You 7-4 and not contesting, you dead tired.
Yeah. It bully
hats
ball,
off,
man.
Hats off to Hurley and the UConn Huskies for what they did. But the Kentucky situation is crazy. It's kind of toxic, I think. They'll find someone. Who?
Of course.
I don't know. It's got to be the right fit. It's got to think about, look at what they did to Tubby Smith.
Man, they,
and he won them one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, they'll find someone, either an intro, excuse me, or someone, you know, out of mid-major. It won't be a big name that they're trying to make a splash with. Someone that they may bring off of the, you know, out from retirement or whatever.
Mm, but, no, that's not a good idea. Don't do that.
No.
But I think you made a point, Jay, mid-major. Do you think, before we read Wallace's statement, leave that up, do you think, though, that they could, and I said this, because do you think they go after that Cinderella coach that had a decent run in the tournament and then try to turn him and bring him to have that same success with the type of resources Kentucky has?
Sure. Don't be surprised if you see like a Duquesne coach or a Gonzaga coach or someone like that that's had sustained success getting to the tournament, getting to a Sweet 16, maybe not making it over because they didn't have resources or whatever. You know, be called and said, you know what? Yes, I'll take that job. I will take that because here's the dream I've had of being at a big a Power Five, you know, school and putting on that Kentucky blue and doing it, right? Or maybe not Kentucky blue, just being at a major, and now I have the resources that I need and want or wanted. You know, I don't have to struggle as much as I did before. But yeah, Mark Pope, see? It's that part right there, man.
I'm not trying to be funny. Mark Pope. Who is that?
Mark Pope is, where's Mark Pope out of? He's not a major, though.
But I know I've seen the name through the tournament. That's what I'm trying to make sure I speak on the right thing. Don't play something that's crazy.
So you got us looking. That's good, though. I love it. Okay, so we're looking at Mark Pope. While we're doing that,
it's not Gonzaga.
I'm BYU.
Oh, BYU. Oh.
Oh.
Owen, thank you for that, sir. Owen Stevens, we appreciate you.
Yeah.
And BYU, that coach is, I mean, he had the number one scoring team in the country. They were supposed to go a lot further, according to a lot of people in the tournament, got upset. Yeah. But I can definitely see that kind of play. It's not surprising because of what he was able to do with BYU being, and BYU's all the way out in Provo, Utah, but played in the Big 12, right? And the things he was able to do with that team,
And you know what? That, and to me, BYU is one of those mid-major Power Five schools.
That's fair. You know what I mean? That's fair to say in basketball because BYU's nothing you've heard of a lot in basketball. Like, they have players come and go through there, here and there. And
Jimmer Fredette. That's about all they got, man. Come on.
Come on, man. You got Sean Bradley, too, bro. Come on. Don't be that. Your boy Sean Bradley went to BYU, dog.
Don't do that, man. Don't do that.
There was no disrespect meant in that statement. I promise you. It really was no disrespect meant in that.
I know it wasn't. I'm being real sensitive.
I'm off topic, but I have to ask you this. Yeah. Were you surprised Jimmer Fredette didn't have a better career in the NBA than he did?
No, not at all.
You weren't surprised at all?
Not at all.
It was just...
Absolutely. Come on, man. Come on. Come on, man. Come on. It's like a lot of fans mad out here. They're mad in Utah, they're mad in Kentucky. Probably Kentucky, right?
I think Kentucky's going to take what they can get. I believe it's got to be Utah because they got a solid coach in Pope, and he's got something he can continue to build. No one thought BYU would play the way they played the entire season. Right. I watched them play against Texas in the Big 12 game, and I was like,
they
struggled early, and all of a sudden they started knocking down shots, and I was like, damn. And I was like, come tournament time, BYU going to be one of my sleepers. Yeah, they went to sleep all right. But they built something. They built something they got going on. Are they mad out there in Kentucky? Man, Kentucky fans – are they privileged? Do they think they should be able to get whoever they want because of their name and who they are?
Yes.
I don't know. I mean,
that's a blue blood.
That's a tough job to fill.
Okay.
Because it's hard. It's big shoes to fall. Well, someone's going to take the gig because they're going to take the bread, Jay. But it's still tough on that coach going in having to do that. You, man, come on, dog. We know Mark. What's his name in Alabama?
Mark Pope.
No, was there another one trying to cover for Saban on the football side of things in Bama, he's shaking his damn boots. But he had to take the job.
He didn't. No, he didn't have to. He would have been fine where he was, playing in the Big Ten. He would have been fine. He would have been fine.
But it's not SEC.
No. Oh, he didn't contact Billy or Rick. Well. After Drew, I mean, once Drew turned him down, he got a little scared, you know, got a little upset. So it's like,
get that pucker butt, start getting tight.
Because when you have, as you stated, the Kentucky fan base and those boosters, they're saying, listen, you better go get someone that's been in the tournament, that's doing something, that will take this. You know, because the thing is, we got to make a splash. You know, and not to say Mark Pope is a splash, but like I said, he is a mid-major at a Power Five, right? Out of BYU, unassuming, but did something. So now, here you go. And that's all it is.
That list shrinking, and I know we got to go. You gonna make me look in? I'm about to look up and research who else is out there who could be a good fit. I think that's a hard job. Like I said, it's a hard job to fill, man. Just because of who you have to replace. And until you get a coach that can come in and win, no one's going to be beyond excited about having to come in and replace John Calipari.
Kalen DeBoer with Bama now? Yeah. Absolutely. I know I have the fourth down. I know we were supposed to kind of talk about this, but this one kind of came to me, man. So we were supposed to talk about the matches.
That's all good.
Listen, this past Sunday and Monday, we had championship games, right? For the tournament. This year, and everyone's been talking about the numbers, but the women outdid the men as far as viewership.
Yeah. We did a little something about that on the channel. We did. So we
talked about the numbers getting there.
I did a short on it.
Okay, well now we're here. You can talk a little bit longer than your short.
Yeah, well I'm going to get my.
Talk to me.
You can't say it. You can talk to me. Yes, sir. I will. The numbers on this, sure. And I'm going to get my numbers. This is the question I posed Jay Stoggs when I did the short on it.
Yeah,
I was like, is this a new trend, or is it the Caitlin Clark effect? So, it's another number that's kind of amazing off of these two, but to have those numbers where they are, it's big, it's huge. And like I said, if I'm not mistaken, it's the first time ever that the women's game has outdrawn the men's game. And what was it, 18.1 million viewers to 14.1 million 15, viewers?
Something
like that. That's astronomical, and that's big. And even Don Staley shouting out Caitlin Clark for what she did for the game with viewership. Dude, do you know they were selling tickets inside that arena in Cleveland for $435 a piece at a women's game?
Yeah.
You know, things that have never really been done before have been done.
Yeah.
I don't think – and I asked the question. I'm asking you right now. Yeah. Is this something new that'll continue to happen? Or was it just a trend? I think it was a trend.
I'm
with you, Wallace. I'm with you. I don't think it'll happen again for a while.
I don't think so, too.
It was.
It's sad, but
hey, man.
I say it's sad, but that game was special. It's two things. It's two things you got going on here. Number one, and first and foremost, yes, it's the Caitlin Clark effect.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have the Gamecocks, who are coming off an undefeated season, who had a great player themselves.
Right.
Okay.
And the revenge tour.
And it was definitely the revenge tour. But on top of that, if you look at the men's game, I'm sorry, folks, but Purdue and Zach Edey, listen, they got beat by double digits. It wasn't really compelling. Let's just call it what it was. Were you excited to watch Purdue versus UConn?
It was a good game for a while, man.
Stop it.
The game was never good to you, Jay Stock. Honestly, it was never good to you.
I think I watched maybe 5 minutes of it.
Bruh. But you watched 5 minutes of the national championship game.
Bro, it, you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of like the LSU Iowa game. In that it was, I mean, and that game was compelling, but it's like, okay, you got one player and then nobody else. And that's, and UConn was just that much better, and UConn had been that much better the whole tournament. For me, I would have rather have seen UConn play U of H, because they play the same
foot again. And U of H would have, and I don't care who UConn played, UConn could have probably beat the Detroit Pistons that night. UConn was going to beat whoever they played in that national championship game. I just honestly believe that.
Yeah, but they play, I think, the same brand of basketball that it would have been nice to say, okay, yeah, okay, we got two bullies on the same street. Let's see who's going to be the biggest bully. Like, I would have loved to have seen that. Purdue is not that. Purdue is not that. And they're like, okay, Zach, we're going to let you, like you said, tire yourself out, and that's it.
But I think some people want to see it because of the struggles Purdue had the years prior of even getting
years. You mean decades? Decades?
Okay, I'm not going back to the – okay, man, you're right.
40s. Go back to the 40s.
I just meant this – I just meant the big man, Zach Eby, the Eby, all right, really, and how he struggled to get to the promised land. That's what I meant by that. When I said – I didn't mean the decade. Yeah, I know they ain't been since the train still probably ran on campus at Purdue. I understand that.
Right. We want to, we won't see this again until we see another up-and-coming one. Yeah, yeah. Carrying up not just the team, Wallace, the whole women's basketball.
Now,
women's basketball,
Jay,
because she did that. Yeah,
this on Good Morning America, they said this, and shout out to Robin Roberts because she does a great job of being an ambassador for the women's game all the time. Yeah. And I'm gonna mess these numbers up because you know, I'm not Rain Man, I don't just leave them in my head the whole time. So, out of that 14, I found the revenue. And okay, so 18.9 million viewers for the women, 14.8 million viewers for the men.
Mm-hmm.
But the women only pulled about 6% of the revenue that was generated from those numbers, to where they said the men's revenue was about 600% or something like that, or maybe 600 million. It was stupid, leaps and bounds, like triple-digit revenue to single-digit millions, which was like, yeah, dog, how can it ever fairly be distributed? Will it ever fairly be distributed? To where the women's had way more viewers, but they still didn't pull in the same type of money from the purse that the percentage of share that the men got from it. And I need to find, but yeah, Robin Roberts put that number out on Good Morning America after the game, and it was just like, damn, one big leap one way, they need to take another leap the other way. But
It's just like the, you know, just like professionals, man. It's one of those things where, you know, you have rookie contracts of $46,000 to $72,000. Like, that's a rookie contract in the WNBA per year, as opposed to the men. And we talking about first round. We ain't talking about, like, just general. No, that's first round, first pick, second pick, third pick, right? And you talk about that as opposed, juxtaposed to tens of millions of dollars for a first round pick, you know, and then, and that's rookie, and then you come out and you make even goob gobs more. But the reality is, the people that are at the top when it comes to the marketing, your ADs, your presidents, your marketing people, right? That's why Caitlin is not staying for another year. That's not Angel Reese is not staying for another year. Because the reality is yes, they can make the money NIL. But Caitlin's going to make her money not from the WNBA, but from marketing. Her, you know, marketing, from Nike, from State Farm, from wherever else she's doing, she's making her money there. Now, we talk about women's game, and we can talk about the next up-and-comer. Could it be Juju out of USC?
Oh, yeah. Sure,
maybe. Yeah. But she's going to have to do something a little different than Caitlin because, hey, look, we know Caitlin can shoot. But here's something that Caitlin can't do. Caitlin can't shoot the mid-range. And you know, there's some other things. Her passing is not all that great. But if Juju can take it to another level, which I don't know. She's already broken the scoring record for a freshman. So it's very likely that she could possibly break Caitlin Clark's record in 3 years. If she decides to stay, right? Yeah. So, Mark Pope agreed to the Kentucky job. Appreciate you. Look at that. Good for him. Good for him. Mark Pope agreed to the Kentucky job. Yeah. Good for them.
You know what your reaction to that makes me say, Jay Stug?
Do it.
Oh, hell no. 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 Oh, hell no.
Oh, hell no.
That's right. This is the part of the podcast where we see things that happen throughout the week that make us say, oh, hell no. B-Gang, take it away, sir.
You know, last week, Jay Stoggs, you talked about an NFL player that got in trouble here in Dallas. Mm-hmm. From here, plays for the Chiefs, right? Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, it just always seems like something breaks out in the offseason. And this isn't just offseason. This guy here is retired. But former Ravens star, pass rusher, and Arizona State standout, Terrell Suggs, was booked on charges of threatening and disorderly conduct involving a firearm. Now, this stemmed back in March, but all the charges and stuff just got brought up because of looking at surveillance cameras. Here it is. Suggs and a gentleman get in an argument in a Starbucks parking lot. Words were exchanged to where the guy said, I'm not scared of you. And Suggs said, I'll beat your ass. And then goes to pull out a gun. Never pointed it at the man, but pulled it out. When are we going to stop with the road rage and things going so far to where this could end up so crazy in so many different ways? I've been guilty of getting mad at people in cars driving by me or cutting me. Things happen. I understand. But God, dog, pull out a gun. Just go get your mocha frappuccino with your extra whipped cream and shot of espresso. And get in the car. And I don't know if that's what you like, but I always get a shot of espresso with my frappuccino. That's, you know, if I go there, if I get there.
Not always. If I go there.
If I go there.
Definitely go there.
Yeah, I probably go there.
Definitely get that.
I like a good caramel nitro brew. You know, caramel, you know, sweet cream cold brew. Anyway. Now, before I start working on this physique.
Man, you should oh hell no yourself for that.
For letting America know my coffee order. Hey man, y'all can send a big game will take any Starbucks gift cards proudly and happily. Yes, sir. At bgsportsbuzz.com@gmail.com. Yeah. Anyway, that's all. That's my old hell now, Jay Stoggs, man. That's all I got for you tonight, bro. Why are you laughing at my coffee order, bro?
Man. I'm sorry. Okay. Go to the next thing, man. Just go. Just go.
We skipping your old hell now?
Man, you're it, friend. You are my old hell now.
All right. I'm your, just talking old hell
your
now.
Starbucks, your Starbucks order trumps anything I can ever say right now. I can't even remember what it is.
All right.
Is it again caramel macchiato with
no, the, man. Caramel, wheat cream.
Sweet cream.
Yeah, caramel and sweet cream. Nitro cold brew.
Nitro cold brew with a shot of espresso.
Yeah, that shit will have you amped, have you jacked for a couple days, dog. I don't always think there's a shot in there, but nah, then, man, you know, I got to get. Hey, dog, I work with kids every day. I got to get
right. I hear you.
Hey, but now, Jay, I have just, and we got to go. I know that. Folks, bear with us. But with the intermittent fasting I'm doing and keeping it right, yeah. I only drink black coffee right now, bro. I only drink black coffee.
As Wesley Snipes would say, always bet on black.
Remember the movie Airplane back in the day? I like my coffee the way I like my women. Hey, man, let's get on to Between the Lines.
I'll tell you what, though. Can I say one thing, though?
Yeah.
My favorite part of that movie, of Airplane, is first of all, when the Brady Bunch's mom is on there, she says, "Excuse me, miss, I speak jive."
Yes. Yes, we will move on because the buff nerd is about to lose all of his sense.
Mama don't read no who I know what's going on. Let's go.
Between the Lines, powered by Loyal to Ash Cigar Subscription. Get your subscription today.
That's why I said Between the Lines. And I tried.
You did. Okay. It's all good. We will be having that Loyal to Ash link shortly in the description on our show. Hey, it's a cool cigar subscription. If you are a casual but beginner cigar smoker, you can go to Loyal to Ash, subscribe. You'll get 5 premium cigars in the mail. And you usually get 1 minority or female-owned cigar in that box as well. Take the guesswork out of it. Let Loyal to Ash Puff Sip Chat supply you with those cigars, and you will be good to go.
Very nice. Very nice. Very nice. Definitely want to make sure I'm subscribed to that. Between the Lines. Hey, look, I don't want to. Do I have to start it off? Okay.
No, do what you need to do, man. Whatever's on your mind and heart, man. Because I, you know, because okay, you might have to, you know, redirect, man. Pivot. It's okay.
Yeah. Let's start it off with this. Rodgers, as we know, as we call him, douche Dodgers around here. Thought career was over when he got hurt last year, week 1, because he's old, and his Achilles said, "Hey, guess what? We're old," and popped. He's coming back. Damn. Should he go ahead and hang him up? He's already got a championship. He's going into the Hall of Fame first ballot, even though he shouldn't. What say you?
Man, I saw this, right? And he was like, he's afraid his career is over. And a part of me, in a cynical way, I was like, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, the championship window is closing.
Yeah.
The Jets clearly have to address the offensive line, which they got 3 guys in free agency that are supposed to be able to help. But they got your boy, Smith, from the Cowboys, as old as Methuselah, right? I don't know.
Glad they got
it. You know me, Jay, from being a former professional football player who had not the longest career in the world. But you know me, I don't like to speak on, "Oh, it's over now." Father Time is undefeated and speaks on things when it's time, right? And Aaron Rodgers may have already passed that window of opportunity. It may already be over for
him. He's already, you know, looking at his political career. He should focus on that. You know, go ahead and be the VP.
But do you take that serious, bro?
It's douche Dodgers. Yes and no.
Okay.
Okay. It's douche Dodgers, man. He sits alone in a cave by himself, dark cave, and he comes out and says, "I'm healed. You know, I'm healed faster." And doctors are like, "He's healed faster than any person on record." Right, he's like an X-Men or something like that. I'm not buying it. He's
gonna have that Wolverine vibe, though.
No, he doesn't. You're not gonna say that. I won't let you say that.
Wolverine. You don't have those healing powers like Wolverine.
Not at all. Not at all.
Exoskeleton. Wolverine's awesome.
Skeletor.
Hey, man.
Skele-none.
Oh Lord. Hey, man. Horrible. Aaron Rodgers, according to the Buff Nerds, you're done, my friend.
No, according to the world and your body, and yes, the Buff Nerd, you are done. So hang it up, you know, and go into the Hall of Fame, which you shouldn't, and especially not first ballot. He should not be first ballot. I don't get it. You believe he's first ballot, don't you?
He's a bad man, according to some.
He's trash, too. I'm ready to move on, man. Packers, Eagles. No,
I know that was going to make you mad. That's why I said it, man. He will be a first ballot, whether I believe he is or not. He is going to get that. That's going to happen for him. Point blank, period.
Sucks.
He deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. He does. I will say that.
Eventually. Packers Eagles, Brazil, week one. It doesn't.
Do you think the league is getting overboard with some of these abroad games, man? Now yes. you're kicking off the one of the first games of the season, week one.
In Brazil?
Oh, in Brazil?
I mean, I ain't mad.
You gotta be careful over there, y'all. I heard some of the women pee standing up. I'm sorry. Be careful. That's all I heard. There's rumors. I've never been to Brazil.
Okay, Ryan Lochte. Look, I think that hey, but is there beautiful people down there? Yeah, this is that's far. It's far. And it's week one. The logistics to get there, to do all this, and then to come back. And, you know, I'm curious as to, I need to look at the schedule again, because if they play on a Sunday, then they have to come back. And if they have to play on another Sunday, or they should have a Monday game.
They should have a Monday game following that game. That would, both of them. And right. That ain't going to happen. Yeah.
No, because it's the NFL and, you know, no F league. That's what I call it. You know, they give no Fs. Yeah, man, that's – I mean, that's what they do. They have you play on Thursday and then have you turn right back around and play on a Sunday.
Bro.
Which they're going to do this season.
And I love seeing the interaction of fans. You know, when the Buccaneers went to Germany a couple of years, I love seeing how that went down when they beat up Seattle and Germany. But – I did. I threw a lot of extra in that. My bad. Sorry, Seattle fans.
There's a lot of extra there.
I think it's too much right now, though. I just think they're going overboard. Like, are they going to start playing in Portugal and Spain soon, too?
Why don't they just go ahead and just make a world league? Just do it. Just partner with
the extra. Go back to the old days of the world. They had it. They had NFL Europe. They bought the World League, made NFL Europe. They use it as the developmental league and a farm system, and they even developed coaches over there as well. It's the revenue and money in TV is changing the game, and it's getting a little crazy. Like, pretty soon it's like, hey, you know, the Cowboys and the Jets are playing on the moon this weekend.
This is what I don't understand, too, right? Why? If you put everything on Paramount and Peacock, right, and you have to get a subscription to watch your home team that's playing 25 minutes away from you, but you can't watch it on regular TV, like I'm getting to the point where I'm tired of the NFL and all of the crap they do.
You're not going to boycott, though.
I'm close, man. You know, I'm already kind of like boycotting the Cowboys, so.
You tell me that every year, then we end up
talking about. No, it's the separation. About... Let me tell you something, man.
No, the separation is different.
No, it's separation. It's not a divorce. It's separation. So I talking to a guy. This is how my month has been. I had a flat tire today, right?
Oh, man.
And I noticed, I was like, okay, you know, rear tire is kind of low. I get to work. Like, all right. I look back and I'm like, ooh, that's really low. When I leave, it is on flat. So, okay, let me go ahead and get the spare. Here's the problem with that, right? I have a I'm having a brain fart. Anyway.
You jack?
Crowbar.
Okay.
I take the crowbar, I put the crowbar onto the nut. Doesn't fit. Doesn't fit at all. So I cannot put on the spare that doesn't even go with the car onto this car because I can't even get the nuts off of the tire. So I drive slowly to put air in the tire. I go to this place that I bought my tires from. You know, I paid, get the insurance. Bought the insurance and said, yeah, cool, no problem. We'll take care of the tire. He says, hey, I see what you did to your car, right? I have a Dallas Cowboy shift stick. I have, you know, Dallas Cowboy mats. Dallas Cowboy steering wheel cover.
Oh, Jesus, you're one of those guys.
I'm that guy.
And this is your commuter car?
Yeah, this is my everyday. Okay. Yeah, this is my everyday. The guy says, oh, man, I'm a Cowboys fan as well. I was at the Green Bay Packer game. I was like, oh. And we both had a moment. We both had a moment. And this, I said all that to say this. We both said we're not buying tickets to the game. We're not buying merchandise from this guy because this guy cares more about the brand than the fans. That's my new motto for Jerry Jones. But NFL is the same way. They care more about the brand than they do the fans. They would rather you pay for Peacock and Hulu and YouTube Live and all this other stuff rather than you saying, you know what, I'm a fan of this team and I just want to be able to see it.
Damn.
So I'm done. I'm done. Well, if I boycott, I don't care. It'll give me my Sundays back. My Sundays, my Mondays, my Wednesday, which is my Christmas day, right? Which I watch basketball, but now I'm watching football on Christmas, my Thanksgiving, right? Because I watch football on Thanksgiving. And then also my Saturdays, when you have, you start to get towards the end of the season, I get those back. And then also Saturdays for the playoffs, because those play on Saturdays as well. Like, do you realize how many days you give up watching football, the time? And that's just pros.
Do you find yourself not doing nothing at all when you watch an old game?
Nothing. Nothing. It is wasted time. Nothing.
I ain't gonna lie. I enjoy sitting on myself watching games with my boys sometimes. I ain't gonna lie to you, man. But you're right. A lot of time gets wasted. Hey, man.
What?
I know we gotta get this thing moving. But we gotta talk about it. Legendary Hall of Fame running back O.J. Simpson passed away today.
Orenthal James Simpson.
76 years old, prostate cancer.
Yes.
Hey, Stocks, I didn't even know the man was sick.
It was pretty quiet. They kept it quiet. You know, a lot of things they were trying to do because of all the spotlight that he had had in the past 30, 40 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'd say 30, 40, but, you know, definitely the past 30 years. You know, there's been a lot of talk, social media, friends groups, stuff like that, calling them certain names and things like that and saying, you know, this, that, and the other. Listen, the deal is this, and I have to say this about Orenthal James Simpson. He did what he did for – he did a lot of things first that Black Americans did not. Okay. He was the first Black American to be a spokesperson for a national entity in Hertz. He did that first. Wallace, you need to stop. You need to stop because I know them Falcons ain't working. How about that?
He just wants you to make sure that your lug nut, your crowbar fit your lug nuts, dog. That's it. Hey, go ahead. You said OJ was a Black spokesperson.
Black spokesperson for a national company. That was the first time I ever done, right? Movies, television shows, you know, hosting events. I mean, like, this dude did it all. He
was really iconic, bro. He was iconic.
He was. He really was iconic. And he was able to get into places that a lot of people had not been there before. Now, I'm not going to talk about anything other than that. There's some other shady stuff, other things, you know what I'm saying, that, yes, I don't agree with. There are ways that he handled himself about certain things I'm not going to speak about. Yes, you're correct. But I'm going to speak about that. I have an O.J. Simpson jersey, and I'm going to keep it right there.
I'm going to talk about it because I just want to ask you. Never mind. You know, man, I'm not even going to do that to you.
No, go ahead.
I'm not going to lie. The first thing, not the first thing, but one of the first things I said was, I wonder if he did do it. Did he tell somebody before he died? That didn't cross your mind at all?
No, I have my theory. You know what it is.
Okay. So that being said, I think so much of O.J. Simpson has got, I won't say distorted in the media because those things that he did, he went through and then he brought the light upon himself. But you look back to, as a kid, I'm thinking of seeing O.J. running through the airport.
The Hertz.
The briefcase, the Hertz commercial, hurdling chairs.
Yeah.
A running back that my grandfather admired, loved a lot as an athlete. Talk about what he was at USC and then what he did for the Buffalo Bills and what he did in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Able to get into movies. I remember faintly seeing him play, but really remembering him from the Naked Gun movies, and thought these is the funniest things on earth. This dude, this it's funny, right? So what he was able to do and overcome. And at the end of the day, being an NFL alum myself, as an alumni brother that's no longer here, and I hate that he lost his battle and he's gone on, and I just wish his family peace, because his kids had to go through some kind of crazy hell for years.
Years,
and it probably will never escape them while they're here on this earth, as long as they bear that last name. So, man, you know, nevertheless, neither here nor there, man. Hope, thoughts, prayers, respect go out to the Simpson family. We wish them nothing but the best. And just that whole situation is crazy, because the memes have already started. I don't even think OJ's body was cold before I saw some stuff coming on X, and I was like, yo, I can't even laugh. I can't laugh yet. Can't laugh yet. Too soon.
It is too soon. But let's go ahead and let's get into it. It is now time for the top five.
It's time for the top five. Who's in? Who's out? What's in? What's out? Big Game Sports Game. Top five.
That's right. It is the top five. Some people have a top 100. Some have a top 50. Some have a top 25. Some punk out and do a top 10. But not here. Not on Big Game. That makes you laugh, doesn't it? Not on Big Game Sports Buzz. Here, we do a top five. Who's in, who's out, what's in, what's out. Let's go top five NBA duos of all time. Now, look, we already know who's what, okay? We already know, like, the top two, three. I'm interested in that four or five. That's what I'm interested in. Come on, Big Game.
All right, man. So, without further ado, let's get into this. Yeah. Damn you. I'd be damned if you
Oh, look at this.
Okay. Yeah. So the top five NBA duos, man. We had to go deep on this. And Jason, you're right. Everybody's list are gonna have certain guys on it. And I threw that a couple coaches today at school, and it's like, oh no, you gotta have this. You guys said that's why it's the top five. You gotta tune in to see what I'm gonna put. So, without further ado, my number one duo, Pippen and Jordan. And even though they don't like each other right now, Pippen showed that he couldn't be the man without Jordan. And I'm going to say Jordan went to Washington late and showed that he couldn't be the man without Pippen. Pippen and Jordan were special together, needed one another. The championships, the run, what they did in Chicago for basketball, Pippen and Jordan, number one. Number two. Magic and Kareem.
Yes, sir.
L.A., Showtime, Showtime Lakers, the Skyhook, you know, a.k.a. the captain with Magic Johnson. Man.
Yes, sir. Know,
I do. Phenomenal duo. And I think you just say Magic. And some people, you can't say Magic without saying Kareem.
Mm-hmm.
Can't do it. Another Laker duo. Number three for me, Kobe and Shaq.
Yep.
When I say just... Man, if Shaq would have kept his ass out the club when he first got to LA, they could have more championships. Then I'm just gonna leave that there. Shaq and Kobe. Next one for me. These next two got real tough, Jay. These next two got tight as net.
The first three are yes.
Yeah, but these next two got really tight for me. So just bear with me, man. I did. Stephen Clay, Splash Brothers.
Yeah,
they have a nickname.
Yeah.
Was it four championships they have together?
Yeah.
What they were able to do, and for them to be able to win. And some people say, well, you can't say Stephen Clay without Draymond. No, when they first got together, Draymond was clearly a role player.
Yes.
Clearly, he still is. He's just known for being a bully now.
Yeah.
A role player that helped get things done. Steph and Clay are my number four. Ended up my list. I have four different ones down here in five, and I had
to on one. Stop five. Don't you do it.
I'm not. Stockton and Malone. I feel like you can't say one without the other. It was hard for me because they never won a championship. They were close. But they ran into that buzzsaw of the Chicago Bulls and those Lakers.
Yes, sir.
So they're just the victim of circumstance. But two of the best to ever do it Because the mailman would have never delivered if he didn't get his mail put in his satchel. And that is what John Stockton is. Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. So here's the thing. I love your list. I love your list a lot. To the point where you're four, I have four. Or they're on my four. Okay. But my fifth one.
I wonder if I could guess your fifth one. I don't think. I wonder if I can.
You want to try?
Yeah, I'm going to try to guess your fifth one. Tony Parker and Tim Duncan.
Close. They were there. Close. They were there.
Okay.
But actually, sorry, sir. Let's see. I'm still trying to work this out. But I'm gonna get this thing, man. Right there. Bow. Right there. Boom. Hit that. And then we're gonna say, it's actually Kyrie and LeBron.
What?
It's Kyrie and LeBron.
For what? Listen.
First of all.
Dog. No. I did have LeBron on one, but it wasn't with him. Go ahead. Please explain.
It was with D-Wade. Here's the thing about these two players. And I'm seeing it in Dallas with him and Luka. When Kyrie is with a player that can do everything, right? Kyrie can be anything he wants to be, as creative as possible. The great thing about LeBron is, and people can say what they want to about him, but he is one of the smartest basketball players in my mind to ever play the game. I put him on the same level as Magic Johnson. Smart, as far as I can. He can play 1 through 5, right? And I'm talking about LeBron. You play 1 through 5, okay? He's got the size, he's got the speed, he's got the IQ. So when you put him and you put Kyrie together, that just makes a phenomenal duo. Kyrie is a bad shot taker, bad shot maker. So when I look at this duo, yes, they have one championship. Yes, they fell out. But the thing is that once Kyrie kind of saw how hard it was to do this, when he went to Boston, went to Brooklyn, he was like, you know what? I wouldn't mind playing with LeBron again. I wouldn't mind playing because now I understand what was going on now. Right? He had to grow up. So, yeah. Look, it was very difficult. But I said, no. If I had a duo that I could just say, look, let's take all this other crap and let's just focus on what they can do. LeBron and Kyrie. He's speechless. He's speechless. It's the first time. History.
No, man, my bad. My son was trying to. He said, "Oh, y'all still on live?" Yes, son, we're still on live.
tell him who my duo is. I know he's gonna love it.
Hey. That's my youngest. These young folk, he probably would have said, like, I don't know. you got me on that one, bro. I never in a million years would have guessed that one right there. Not mad, because Kyrie Irving is a different kind of player.
Yeah.
What they probably could have been.
Oh, man.
For a long time.
Yes.
Yes. And to me, it just never was. To where, you know, and I love, shout out to my brother-in-law, Rashid, because he was like, well, what's the criteria? Does it have to be a championship? I said, no, it's just top five. You pick your five. He said, well, I got to have a standard. You know, well, I'll put him and him. I'll put him and him. I said, nah. I said, count your fingers. How many you got on there? Man, you got to do five. Yeah, fool. This is what we go through every week when we do it. Yeah. So anyway, hey, man, shout out to you on your list. Not mad at all. It's cool. Nothing but respect, because you're entitled to it. And I know we don't do honorable mentions, but hey, anybody that's watching, let us know in the chat, who y'all's top five NBA duos of all times were.
Yes.
Because what made this list hard, 2J, you think of some great players.
Oh, man.
But you think about the role players they had around them, and they never had anyone just to make another great duo. Like, yeah. I tried to say, okay, Allen Iverson and who? And I couldn't think of one person to put with Allen Iverson. I couldn't put
Eric Snow.
I mean, come on. Yeah, you say it again to make it make sense to you. No, it was good. They were good together, but it was always a duo.
It was always an Allen Iverson.
Mike Bibby and C. Webb. White Chocolate Jason Williams, C. Webb.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, you could.
Duncan and Robinson. But they weren't. Dude, this is a boo. Boy, when I say this list here. Sure.
Yeah. And Duncan and Robinson are a great duo, but you're kind of like, okay, well, look. But was Robinson that good?
And he was late in his career when he got the one championship with him, right? Yeah,
right. So, and it was like Duncan, yeah. And it was more Duncan than Robinson. And then Ginobili, yeah, man, that's
bruh.
It's tough. And then you have the newer players like Jokic and Murray.
They're getting there. But, you know, like, right now, greatest duo of all time, they just don't crack that for me. Yes, they're getting there, but they're not there
yet. Where do you put KD and Russ?
That went through my head a lot.
Yeah.
They did. And I was like, man, that OKC team was something special with those guys together. Especially those two.
Yeah. Or even.
But then I felt like you had the trio because, yeah.
Well, Harden was coming off the bench.
Yeah, Harden. Yeah, early on, he was a sixth man and stuff. You're right. Yeah. But it just.
Right.
I don't. But then,
look. I know we don't do honorable mentions, but here's another one: Shaq and Penny.
Yeah, I said Shaq could have had two duo lists, two on the list.
He could have had three.
Him and D Wade too.
I mean. So you know, yeah. But definitely him, Shaq and Penny. Come on, man. That's
Got to pour some of that one, bro. It's hard.
Yeah, it is. Hey, man.
Good one. Man. Hey, man, I'm going to let you take us out like you always do.
I forgot, but hey, appreciate y'all. appreciate y'all for tuning in.
Now we got to go.
Appreciate you. Make sure that you like, subscribe, and ring that bell so you know when we have great programming on BGSE Network, Big Game Sports and Entertainment, where sports and entertainment collide. Make sure that you also check us out on the different podcast platforms. We are there. Appreciate you. I am Jay Sides Buffner. Let's go.
Hey, man. And put it, but we're gonna, my bad. I know. Wallace pulled this up. I just want to put it on here before we leave real quick. All right, Wallace, Stockton Malone, Kobe and Gasol.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah.
Wade, Duncan, Park and Hart. And Alonzo. Okay.
Here's the problem with that Kobe and Gasol, man. Kobe called him soft too many times for my taste. Kobe's like, he's soft.
Damn.
We need people on our team to get
hard. I mean, Kobe talked about his daddy. So, hey, Kobe was a motherfucker, man. Rest in peace, Mamba.
Yeah,
hey, man, true. For the Buff Nerd, Jay Stoggs, I'm your boy, Big Game James. Thank y'all for tuning in. And until next time, peace.
Who you know that got it behind the scenes like behind the O-line soon as the QB say hype? It's Big Game, Big Game, Analysis from the player's point of view. Injuries, big trades, player news. Yeah.